Need to find another voice recorder. This one's driving me bananas with its. You got to go through 100 ads before it'll actually go to that. All right, so I need a Biblios. I don't know where I put it.
Is there one underneath that Kleenex box?
Yep.
There's my Biblios.
Okay.
How many daily Bible readers do we have, guys? All right. Always keep it going. Okay, James chapter 5. We've been looking at the first part, and we have been looking at when we have challenges around us that we are to be patient to one another. And we kind of did an introduction to verses 9 and 10, but I want to go back to a point in verse 8. It says, be ye also patient and do what?
Establish your hearts.
Establish your hearts. Now, establish is to give a foundation. And I think one of the great builders of faith is struggle. Okay? I don't think that anybody here will say that is pleasant. But, you know, if we will deal with patience in the midst of the struggles that come, it will bring about an establishment of our faith. And we, so many times I've seen little problems come in people's lives, and the first thing they do, they're gone. They give up on God. They just go their way. And so, but those that will stick it out through those tough times and will learn from the things that are there. How many of us learn through our struggles and the problems that come? Okay, I learn a lot through the struggles and the problems that come in my life. And I'm always asking myself the question, okay, what do I need to learn from this struggle? And if I will, I will try to search out any lessons that I need to find in the problems that come. And I'm asking questions, okay, is this something that maybe God's wanting me to learn from? I think everything God wants us to learn from, okay? I'm always asking, is this a temptation from Satan to get me to back off? Which, yeah, I believe that that's a continual struggle and a problem. But we've got to be looking for things that we can grow from, because a lot of times our faults and our struggles are self-induced. And so we've got to be asking ourselves the question, honestly, have I brought some of my struggles on myself? You know, we're kind of in the subject of bosses that don't give wages. Well, is that because we refuse to work? You know, is that because we do a terrible job? Or is that because they're ruthless and they're dishonest? And so, you know, a lot of people, they go from one job to another and they say, why am I so mistreated? You see people come through the work and they don't want to do their job, and first thing you know, they're gone, right? And so, and then who do they blame?
The employer.
Well, it's all their fault, you know.
Or the employees out of the floor.
Or, yeah, the employees around them, you know, can't get along with anybody, so it's their fault. And so I really don't look at troubles and blame those around me. I'm always thinking, okay, how can I learn from this and do better? Maybe did I bring it on? Did I bring this problem on? And so I believe that these are guidelines that the Bible gives us that we will grow and be established. Now, as we get established, we've got a good foundation so that when problems do come, we're not as soon shaken and destroyed over those problems. And so whose responsibility is to have a firm foundation?
It's ours.
Okay? It's our responsibility. We can't blame anybody else. And so, at any rate, so I see that. So at any rate, he says, and I think one of the things that verse 9 is talking about, in the middle of troubles, it's easy to hold a grudge against one another. It says, grudge not one against another, brethren. It's kind of scary when we look at, when we hold grudges, what we have. It's not a good situation. And instead of allowing all of these problems that are around us to cause us to struggle with one another, that we've got to be careful of that. Because we're family, right? And we need our family, especially in midst of struggles and problems that come. But I think I've looked at this passage as I've been studying through this, and the more I look at it, I think it's in this context because I think it's a natural result to lash out at those that you're close to. You know, like, think about a marriage. You know, when we're having troubles, who do we end up taking it out on? One another. You know, the husband and wife. I mean, you know, and what's that?
Or the children.
Yeah, or the children, okay? And so we've got to be careful of that. Mm-hmm. And so the church family, the physical family, it's all the same thing. And so we've got to be very careful to not allow the problems around us to cause us to hold grudges. That's where the peacemaker comes in. That's where the patience comes in, the understanding, the kindness, the compassion. I think of all of those qualities that Jesus exhibited in his life. And they're commandments for you and I. And I see the benefits of doing those things in our life, but it's a challenge in the middle of troubles. And so we've got to be very careful that we don't allow that, because we're going to be held accountable for our actions. Notice how he says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. The judge stands before the door. In other words, Jesus is always there, you know. He always hears and he always knows. And so we just need to remember the challenges that come. Now, Job is in the next verse. And I think, and I don't want to be too hard on Job's wife, but look at this. Somebody read verse 11.
Can I start at 10 and go on?
Yeah, you can do that.
Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
Okay, so remember Job, he went through all these struggles, and what did his wife say?
Curse God and die.
Now, it's easy to be hard on her, but she may have, without thinking, said that out of compassion. She saw his misery. I don't know. I'm not going to judge your heart. It wasn't a good thing. But was there maybe an element of succumbing and contention because of the troubles that surround you? You think she wasn't stressed over this? Yeah, she lost her kids, she lost her wealth, she lost everything. And she's in the midst of a hopeless situation in her eyes, you know. And how many of us would not feel that this is hopeless? You know, it's easy to look at Job and his wife in this situation and make judgments. I think we need to be careful of that unless it's clear. I don't know what her intentions was. It was poor advice. But how many times have we said things maybe out of grief of mind that we didn't really believe, but we were just in the middle of grief? Have you ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I have. You know, and I try to, you know, I try to be careful about planting seeds. I try to think about things in the middle of grief because I don't want to plant seed in somebody else. That is a negative seed. But man, it's not easy when you're in the middle of a lot of grief. And she was. I mean, she was a basket case at that time. And so anyway, as we come back to the point of these two verses, we look at all of these people that suffered. Now look at the prophets. I don't know if you've studied the prophets much, but the prophets in the Old Testament were talking to the people, and they were saying, guys, this is what God says, and you need to make changes. That's what the prophets did the whole time. They were stoned. They were killed. They were abused. They were thrown in the prison. They were thrown in dungeons. They were bad-mouthed. They were treated so poorly. And they were only a messenger. But it's kind of interesting as we look at... Laura's calling now. I don't know why she called this morning. As we look at all of those challenges that they went through, they continued to do what they should. They didn't back down from what God had to say. They kept it going. They kept their faith. They kept the struggle. We see that. I think of a few examples where they didn't endure. Remember the prophet that was to go and talk to the king and tell him about what he needed to do. I can't remember exactly what it was, but God told him. He said, "You go." And you come straight back. You don't eat or anything while you're in that land. And then there was another prophet that was on the path. And he went and he told him, he said, God told me that it was okay. So he came back and believed that prophet instead of God. And he did what that prophet said. You remember what happened to him? He was killed. Lion ate him, okay? And it was kind of interesting because that false prophet, and I don't doubt that he actually was a prophet of God, but he was a lying prophet. That false prophet, when he heard that he was there, he said, that's the man of God, and God's done this because he didn't obey what he said. Think about that for just a minute. Elisa?
So this prophet was on the way back, and he met this bad prophet that told him it's okay to go back and eat. So
yeah.
The good prophet went back and ate, and then he got devoured, and the bad prophet said, well, this happened to this good person because they didn't do what they were supposed to.
Right. Is that not just blow your mind? You know? You think God means what he says? You think there's always somebody out there to tell you something different? Hey, look, with most people being lost and few being saved, I think we've got to be very careful and obey what God says. But these prophets, they suffered immensely. Okay? This bad one suffered, but the good one suffered immensely. I mean, think of Jeremiah. When you read Jeremiah this year, I really want you to look at all of the problems that Jeremiah went through. How he was abused, how he was put down, how he was ridiculed, how he was thrown in prison, how he was in the dungeon, and he sunk in the mud. And when they pulled him out of the dungeon, they had to put things under his arms, rotted cloth, so that the ropes didn't tear his skin. He'd been there that long. Think about it. Becky?
Yeah. Just like God puts people in our lives to bring us closer to Him, the devil uses people in the world to try to get us.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, and there's where we've got to be very careful because we're going to have to use the Bible to compare what we're seeing with what is around us. Because do you have God say, okay, this is the one, this is the situation I've sent? Do you have Satan saying, this is the situation I've sent? So what is your standard to know which one's right and which one's wrong?
Yeah.
Okay? The Bible's all you got, guys. These premonitions, they're only good if we go back to the Bible and let that be the sole source of the correctness or the incorrectness of that. Okay? And so I think that's a big challenge, because I struggle with this. Okay, is this happening because God is telling me this, or, you know, or Satan trying to tell me this, or, you know, and so I go back to the Bible and I look for guidance. Because it is a challenge, I think. It is for me, anyway. And so...
But God is all you got, I'm right back.
Yes, God's all you got. Yeah. Satan's going to bring troubles in your life, you know. And this is where we look at those good prophets that endured terrible things. They stood for God. And we count them such amazing people because they stood for God and they did what was right. But when it comes our time to suffer, we say, it's not worth it. When it comes to our time to make sacrifices, we say, I don't want to do that. Do we see how hypocritical that is? We look at them and say they're great people of faith, but when it comes our time, it's different, right? It's different. I don't like it this way. It's not worth the troubles, not worth the challenges. Well, it is worth challenges. And those prophets of old says it's worth it to stand on what God says and don't turn aside from the right or the left, but stand solidly on what he says. And I'll tell you what, you think those Israelites didn't come up with all kinds of excuses to say, that's not what God says. You know, as Malachi was preaching to the Israelites, and they were bringing these ungodly sacrifices before the altar. And the priests were destroying the wife of their youth and leaving them and treating them bad. And you think they didn't have an excuse for why they were doing what they were doing? Sure they did. But Malachi stood firm. You and I need to stand firm. And we need to go forward, guys. We look at these people and look at and say, what great examples of faith. Think about that when it's your turn to suffer. And help me to remember that as well. Okay? I know that it works both ways. I have my challenges. And a lot of times I get discouraged and I have to kind of shake myself up and get myself going and say it's worth it. We're talking souls. We're talking spending eternity somewhere, either heaven or hell. And so we've got to work with them to help them to go forward, because everybody has their own challenges and their problems. And so we need to be there for them as a family to help them. And so at any rate, so as we look at these people, just remember that, you know. Now, I want to look at the last part of verse 11. So somebody read verse 11 again.
Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Jacob and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful.
Okay, so describe the Lord to me in the midst of troubles. It says Job. I think she read it wrong.
Yep, it's Job.
Yeah.
I just want to see if anybody was paying attention. Thank you.
I called it, but...
I made it up.
After your letter you showed me yesterday, we have to make sure...
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the Lord?
Compassionate, merciful.
Compassionate, merciful.
He gave us Jesus.
He did. Mm-hmm. And you think we weren't in a worse shape than Job? Yeah. What about everyday troubles that we suffer through? Mm-hmm. Your troubles that you suffer through, your challenges that you deal with. What is the Lord?
Compassionate and merciful.
Compassionate and merciful. Mm-hmm. Guys, we've got to remember that. As we go through these challenges in life, God is right there, and his desire is that we will be able to be blessed and to go forward and get through these. But he also knows that we will grow through these things. And he knows what we need to be better. I look at everybody's different struggle, and it challenges. I'm struggle with, you know, why? Why does one person have this trouble and another have that problem? I look at Abraham and Sarah. They struggled for years to have a child. Was that because they were bad people? Was that because they didn't have any faith in God? It was God's choice. God made a choice in their life. And I'm convinced that the reason he did that is, and it could be wrong, I'm speculating, is because that what they needed in their life. And it also had to do, I'm sure, with the coming of Christ. How that would have fit in there, I don't know. But I look at both Abraham and Sarah and the many years that they spent trying to have children. And I look at Isaac and Rebekah and the many years that they spent trying to have children. And I wonder why. You know, you see the drug addicts nowadays, they shell one right out after another. They don't have no trouble having children. You know, and they bring these babies into the world that's got all kinds of problems and deformities, and you wonder, well, why does God bless them? And Abraham and Sarah, which were great in faith, struggled through that. Do you think the Lord wasn't tender and compassionate and in those situations with them? How many years? Do you remember the years? He was 75 when he was called to leave Ur. And he didn't have a child till he was 100. 25 years. And I think in Isaac and Rebekah was 20 years. And God was very merciful through those times. But then we look at our little problems and we want to throw it to the wind and say, God don't care about me. Guys, remember that God is there, that God will help. And I think we need to remember that God knows what we need to get us to heaven. And this is where a lot of times I'll look and I'll have a lot of discussions with people and we talk about the troubles and the problems in their life. And one of the things that I try to say, well, you know, maybe you needed that because otherwise you wouldn't listen to God. And so I don't know. I can't speak for God. But I can see God's hand in everything. I want you to gain a deep, profound faith in God that when you have struggles, that you will recognize that God is there, that he's tender and merciful and compassionate, and he cares about you and he wants you to go to heaven. I believe that's so very important. You go back to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Read that. He starts out with that.
But it's when you don't have patience and you try to create your own answer.
Yeah.
The problems come.
Yeah, and I really think that that's one thing that, you know, when I try to force a solution to a problem, I make more problems. And yes, I want my problem solved now. Now. But where's the patience? And where's the waiting on the Lord? Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Those that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, anybody, is that easy for you?
Well, you mentioned Abraham and Sarah. Well, they got tired of waiting and forced the issue. And
Ishmael. Yeah.
All the problems that we're still having today in the Middle East comes from that.
That's right. Comes from that one decision. And do you think it had been better if he had waited? Yes. Yes, we get so impatient. We want it now. We want the solution. And so, guys, I the more I deal with struggles and problems, the more I'm convinced that if I don't see a clear-cut path, I pray about it. And I trust God to deal with it. Where's the faith if we don't? There is none. That's the thing. It's a weak faith. It's a lacking faith. We've got to have a faith in God that He will help us through these troubles without jumping out and doing like Abraham and Sarah and say, well, I'm going to help God. So now we've got a world that is full of the Muslim religion as a result of that. And they hate everything that has to do with Christianity or anything that doesn't have to do with the Muslim race and or the Muslim religion. And they'll kill anybody that stands in their way. They kill each other. You know? Because they hate each other so bad. And Jesus teaches us to love. Okay? Don't jump out and solve your problem. Wait on God. Pray. Roy?
You want the answers? Go to the Bible.
Yes.
How many answers are in that Bible? That's a history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Look back in history.
And see. No, we can't learn past.
No,
we're going to be different
no,
for us. We
no,
don't have to worry
exactly,
about the past.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You look back in history, and do you learn anything from it? Look back in the Bible. Did you learn anything from it? No. And whose fault's that? It's ours.
Yeah. I look at that on day one, God said, let there be light. And the sun wasn't created until, I think, the fourth day. I'm not so sure that the light in that situation is not the wisdom and the right way to go. I don't know that. But I know when he talks about light in the New Testament, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, is he talking about the sun?
No.
No, he's not. He's talking about the truth of God's word. And so we've got to stick with the truth of God's word if we're going to be able to flourish. And this goes back to the wisdom that God created. Okay? It hasn't changed since the beginning. Now God's law has changed. It's made a couple changes over the years. We had the patriarchal law up until Moses. And then the Jews had the Old Testament law. And then when Jesus came, he gave us the New Testament law. But the same basic things applied through the patriarchal law with some minor corrections or changes as they are. We still got the same basic things that we're to follow today that always were that way. Elisa? Okay.
And just chaos. Just elements floating and there wasn't anything.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't understand that concept. Okay. I don't know how all that fit together. All I can do is look at some little clues. I can see the three persons in the Godhead in the creation. God said, Jesus. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God the Father. And so I can see them there. Do I understand it? No. I don't. But I don't need to. Can I understand what I'm commanded to do in the New Testament? To go to heaven? I can if I choose. That's my choice. And so the things that I have struggles with are things that I don't need to know or that not have struggles with. The things that aren't clear, like some of those details in creation, I don't have to know them to go to heaven. I have to follow what Jesus says to go to heaven. So I think we're past out of time, so we have to quit. I'd say, you long-winded thing, you.
I'm related to you.
Don't tell anybody. He let me. Oh, okay. I just got to get one here.